crisis of the ages. We shall study Mark 14, 12 to 72, 60 verses. And as you look at the overview, there are three divisions to help us visualize this section. The first part in the upper room, the second in Gethsemane, the third in the judgment halls of the rulers. On the Thursday before the crucifixion, Jesus Christ ordered two of his disciples to prepare for the Passover. Every detail of this Passover and the Lord's Supper, which occurred following this Paschal meal, Jesus Christ carefully rehearsed to his disciples. You'll find a room belonging to a man that he carefully identified. There he must prepare basin, water, Paschal lamb, with all the needs for the festive meal. In the evening, Jesus met. Nobody washed feet, so as John indicated, Christ washed feet. Then he led them into the communion service, which was the last communion service of any significance. It had commemorated the Exodus from Egypt, and it had anticipated the coming of Messiah as the real Paschal Lamb. Now Jesus ate the Passover meal with the disciples, and with the remnants of the Paschal meal in front of him, Jesus Christ established the communion service. He took the bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples. Take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples. This is the blood of the new covenant which I will establish by dying on Calvary. This do as oft as ye will till the kingdom of God come. So in the ceremonies of that Thursday evening, a point of transition between the old order and the new order had been reached. Jesus Christ was the Paschal Lamb. He was about to die for the sins of the whole world, and by his spilled blood, mark out the covenant way into life eternal. To remember that, and to look forward to the final consummation of his second coming, he gave them the communion service that they should carry out as oft as they will. While he was in process, Jesus revealed to his disciples the betrayer. One of them would betray him. And by a process of time, Judas was revealed. And in chagrin and anger, he hastily left the upper room. Jesus then warned the disciples that they would flee from him. And Peter, ever ready to defend himself, says, although everyone else does, I will not. And Jesus says to him, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me thrice. And so did all the other disciples declare their faithfulness as Peter had. Following this, Jesus gave to the disciples his final words. The synoptic writers do not say anything about it. But John, chapters 14, 15, and 16, record Christ's last intimate words with his people in the upper room. And then about 9 p.m., when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there for 3 hours, Jesus Christ prayed and committed himself to his Father. In the long ago, Jesus had 3 times offered himself to the Father as man's substitute and surety. Three times the Father had expressed his reticence in giving the Son. Now three times the Son approaches the Father to exhibit his reticence to the Father, dying in the place of men. The Father had acceded to Christ's wish when the Council of Peace was held in the beginning. The Son stayed true to the Father in Gethsemane when the provisions of the Council of Peace were to be carried out. And while Christ was praying and the disciples were sleeping, Judas was plotting. And at midnight, Judas came with the temple guard and swords and staves and torches and the chief priests and scribes and elders, kissed Christ to identify him. And then Christ was taken away. Peter struck Malchus by his sword, cut off his ear, and Mark fled naked, and all the disciples ran away, and Jesus was led away to the house of Annas, the high priest, and Peter followed afar off. What happened in the next few hours is the greatest travesty of justice ever viewed on this planet. According to the laws of the Jews, everything connected with the trial of Christ was illegal. No capital trial should be at night. No trial should be conducted by a packed Sanhedrin with members who were in favor of the condemned being excluded. No condemned man could be condemned by his own testimony. The chief judge was not allowed to express his opinion until everyone else had spoken. False witnesses were forbidden. Bribery was condemned. No criminal was to be slain on the same day he was sentenced. And one could go on and find 40 or so illegalities connected with the trial of Christ. And while he was being tried illegally, Peter, who had followed afar off, was warming himself with the servants of the high priest in the courtyard. During this time, he was approached by three persons and identified as being one of the disciples of Christ. Three times he denied, and on the third time the cock crowed. Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had spoken. And when he thought thereon, he wept. In our study this week, we think about the way Christ met the conflict of the ages, fully aware of what was taking place, fully cognizant of his dependence on his Father, trusting completely in his Father's power, well aware that his nation had rejected him, viewing only a handful of faithful followers, yet seeing of the travail of his soul, he joyously went to the cross because of his unfathomable love.